Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. The headlines: Hamas accepts Trump's peace plan, ending 2-year war in Gaza, returning hostages. Does anyone actually believe Hamas? They are a violent Islamic group who believes their duty to Allah is to continue jihad against the Jews. And they believe in taqiyya, the practice of telling your enemy what they want to hear, but in secret doing the opposite. They have done this before and they'll do it again. In the Oslo Accords, the Palestinians agreed to peaceful coexistence with Israel. And out of that, in 2005, Israel withdrew from the Gaza Strip and gave the Palestinians self-rule. Israel even dismantled 21 Israeli settlements in Gaza for the Palestinians. But the Islamists didn't intend to keep any peace treaty with Israel. Instead, they used the Oslo Accords to turn the Gaza Strip into a military base to attack Israel. When Israel withdrew in 2005, there was the same cheering by the Palestinian Gazans like we're seeing today in Gaza, as Israel again is withdrawing from Gaza. Here's a clip of Gazans celebrating the recent peace deal. They're chanting, Kahabar, Kahabar, Yah, Yahud, and it's a call for killing Jews, making reference back to the time when Muhammad murdered an entire Jewish community. So does any rational, educated person actually believe Hamas is going to abide by the 20-point peace plan put forth by Trump, which includes the disarming of Hamas and the removal of Hamas from governing Gaza? With the Israeli troops withdrawing, Hamas has already started recruiting new soldiers and have stationed their soldiers on street corners in Gaza. And Hamas is now fighting dozens of other Islamic militant groups in Gaza that have for a long time wanted to also control Gaza. Here's an article from Fox. Dozens killed in Gaza as violence erupts between Hamas and armed clans. And that's an understatement. Hamas is killing Gazans who have collaborated with Israel, practicing genocide on entire families. Here's an article from the Times of Israel. Hamas has mobilized 7,000 members of an internal security force to cleanse Gaza of collaborators. Well, maybe Israel is pulling out of Palestine and Gaza so that the Palestinians fight the Palestinians. But the point is this. Given what is now happening in Gaza, it's clear that Hamas will not relinquish their weapons and their control of the Gaza Strip. It's just not in their religion. They will surrender only when they're dead. The Christian Broadcast Network did an interview with a Christian IDF officer who admitted, quote, "We do not believe Hamas wants to disarm. Look at the history. Even before they took over the Gaza Strip, they were hell-bent on killing Jews. We have interviewed Hamas soldiers, and they all say, as long as there's blood in my body, I am going to be killing Jews. And even after this peace deal, and with Israeli soldiers beginning to withdraw, Hamas is still shooting at Israeli soldiers, and they're still launching rockets." And this IDF officer went on to say, Hamas really believes that the West is dumb enough that if they put on a suit coat, the West will think, oh, now they're statesmen. Oh, now he's an honest person. Now they're one of us. But the whole thing is a ploy. I believe Hamas is going to do every trick in the book to stay in power, or at least to come back. I don't know exactly what they've got up their sleeve, but I'm sure they've got something up their sleeve, unquote, IDF officer Chaim Malisvin. Now for an on-the-ground perspective, there's also the recent warning from Mossab Hassan Youssef, the son of one of the founders of Hamas, who has since renounced jihad and Islam and is a Christian now living in Israel. He knows Hamas firsthand. He was in Hamas. Quote, "It's not a peace deal. It's only a ceasefire. Islam can never make peace with Israel. If they could, there would have been peace a long time ago. At best, in the Islamic religion, there can only be a 15-year truce with enemies of Islam. Then he went on to say that Trump and his administration, they're not familiar with the Middle East. They think they can simply force a peace plan or force demilitarization and rebuilding. But Hamas will never disarm. They will sink the boat with everyone in it first. Hamas will simply rebrand themselves as the Gaza Security Force. They always do this. They change their label just to fool the West. They know how to play the game. They have an entire PR division. And Trump has really put impossible conditions upon Hamas. If Hamas disarms, other Palestinian groups in their quest for power will retaliate against Hamas. Well, maybe this is a trap that Trump has actually set for Hamas. But this peace deal, he says, is insane. The Israelis released 2,000 mass murderers for just 20 hostages. How can this bring about peace? Unquote, son of Hamas, Massab Youssef. So this is the reality on the ground coming from those who are called hardliners. But given even a basic understanding of history and Hamas, the euphoria in the media we're now hearing is quite bizarre. The New York Times, Democrats praise Israeli-Gaza peace deal. Washington Post, Donald Trump and peace in the Middle East. Wall Street Journal, the art of the Gaza peace deal. And the media is even talking about Trump receiving the Nobel Prize for peace in the Middle East. Now, of course, these media outlets express cautious optimism. But the surprise is that they have any optimism at all. So the big question is, what is really going on here? Is President Trump so naive that he thinks he can make a peace deal with Hamas? The people in Trump's cabinet, they're not naive. Mike Huckabee, U.S. ambassador to Israel, he's an evangelical Christian, and he knows the tactics of Islam. Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, he's a Christian, and he's a staunch opponent of Hamas. Steve Witkoff, a special envoy to Israel, he's working out this deal, but he's Jewish, he knows all about Hamas. And Trump's Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, he worked out the Abraham Accords with Saudi Arabia, and he's also involved in this deal, and I don't think he's naive. But consider this. What we're hearing on the news about this deal is for public consumption. But what's really going on behind the scenes may be something totally different. President Trump may be scamming the scammers, outwardly going along with the facade of a peace deal, but working behind the scenes to beat Hamas at their own game. Let's hope so. Consider the following points. Over the summer, Israel began to lose the PR war, public relations war, with the West. After Israel's war in Gaza had gone on for at least 2 years, the opponents of Israel finally built up enough momentum to shift public opinion. As we now see so many pro-Palestinian protests in American cities and on American universities. In Europe, the opposition to Israel is worse. In Italy, there was a protest and strikes in solidarity with the Palestinians. Dock workers blocked ports. Last month at the UN, every nation on the Security Council, except the United States, voted to reward Hamas by declaring that there ought to be a Palestinian state in Israel. Remember this clip. Only the United States opposed the creation of a Palestinian state in Israel, and the U.S., having veto power, stopped the resolution.
Those in favor of the draft resolution contained in document S/2025/583, please raise their hand. Those against.
But even though the United States was able to veto this resolution, this was still a very bad sign. However, Trump's peace deal takes all the wind out of the pro-Palestinian movement and these protests. This deal puts the onus in Hamas's court. If peace doesn't happen in the Middle East now, Hamas is going to look like the bad guy. As a PR move, this peace deal was a win for Israel. Second, consider the fact that Israel had Hamas defeated and cornered in Gaza. And it seems very strange that Trump and Israel would offer this deal to allow Hamas to survive. You know, in the summer, Hamas already turned down the ultimatum to release the hostages or die. Why would this offer be made again right before Hamas's defeat? It was like making a peace deal with Germany in World War II right before the Allies took Berlin so that Hitler and the Nazis could survive. You know, I also think it's really providential that for 2 years, Hamas refused to return the hostages. If they did, then Israel would have had no political cover to continue the war. But if Hamas was too stubborn, maybe they thought they could win the war, and maybe they wanted Israel to actually continue to attack Gaza. But in their stubborn defiance, they gave Israel an international justification to continue to fight Hamas and devastate it. But again, why did Israel offer Hamas a peace deal right before being able to kill off the rest of Hamas? Well, maybe Israel did this because Hamas, in their defeat, would kill all the hostages. And that would be political suicide for Israel's administration. But is that the only reason? According to Stephen Pollard, an editor for the Jewish Chronicle, quote, Hamas may still exist. It may still have weapons. It may still have terrorists. But it's as close to being wiped out for now as is realistic. Unquote. You've got to realize that Hamas is everywhere. They're in Qatar. They're in Egypt. They're hiding in Gazan refugee camps in the south. Killing off Hamas would really be unrealistic and would prolong the war and feed into more worldwide anti-Semitism. So instead, Israel and the Trump administration have likely worked out a secret plan to get rid of Hamas. You know, plan that the media and the public is not privy to. And in an article by Stephen Pollard entitled Forget the Rumors, This is the Real Deal Behind Trump's Peace Plan, Pollard explains what's not being said in the media. And I hope this audience knows that what is said on the news and the true story always differ. And so you really have to dig deep into the internet to find the true story. Well, Pollard explains this. Remember last month, Israel dropped a bomb on a building where Hamas leaders were meeting in Qatar? Even outwardly, Trump condemned this air raid as a violation of Qatar's sovereignty. But most likely, Trump and Netanyahu were in on this raid. And this changed the whole direction of the war. Hamas realized that there was no place they could hide. And Qatar realized that the U.S. was going to no longer protect Qatar. And even though Qatar has allowed Hamas a safe haven in their country for years, they better find a solution to the Hamas problem in Israel. And the Islamic news network Al Jazeera comes out of Qatar. And lo and behold, after the bombing, Qatar removed the senior editorial team from Al Jazeera. And all of a sudden, Al Jazeera started reporting negative stories about Hamas. And insiders say that Hamas was very unhappy with these changes at Al Jazeera. So even though Israel bombed Qatar, Qatar is now helping to get this peace deal done in Gaza. Somehow Trump and Netanyahu got Qatar, the big money player in the Middle East, to change direction. And also another big player on the table in this deal is Egypt. The meetings are actually taking place in Egypt. Egypt could have ended this whole conflict years ago if they would have opened up their borders to Gazan refugees. All of the Gazans would have fled the Gaza Strip, leaving Hamas high and dry, without a civilian population, and without international aid. But instead, rather than ending the conflict for the past 20 years, Egypt has let weapons flow through its borders onto the Gaza Strip to Hamas. But now, Qatar and Egypt seem to be changing their positions. Who knows what kind of behind-the-scenes deal Trump has worked out with those countries. Now, Hamas has only two options in Trump's plan. Either disarm and give up power in Gaza, or leave. But where are they going to go? The rumor is that something's being worked out with Qatar and Egypt to take in Hamas and the Gazans. There obviously has to be some sort of plan, because otherwise this deal with Hamas is meaningless. Stephen Pollard writes in the Jewish Chronicle, all of this is positive. As anyone who knows anything about the Middle East knows, it could all fall apart. Everything could change. But Trump's handling of Qatar to date ranks as one of the greatest diplomatic and strategic masterstrokes ever seen. So we'll just have to wait and see. Now let's look at Gaza and biblical prophecy. Before Israel conquered Canaan in 1400 BC and occupied the land, the Philistines occupied Gaza. The Philistines were Europeans of Greek origin, most likely from the island of Crete. And they sailed to and settled these coastal areas of Israel, what's known as the Gaza Strip. And the Israelis lived in the mountains of Judea. In the book of Joshua, we see that the territory of Gaza was to be part of Israel's inheritance. Joshua chapter 15, verse 20. This is the inheritance of the tribes of the sons of Judah according to their families. Verse 47, Ashdod, its towns and its villages, Gaza, its towns and its villages, as far as the brook of Egypt and the Great Sea, even its coastline. But the Philistines were one of those people groups that God did not immediately remove from the land of Israel. Judges chapter 3, now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is, all who had not experienced any of the wars of Canaan. And then verse 5, the five lords of the Philistines, which ruled over the five cities of Philistia, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and Gath. Now, of those five cities, only Gaza is now outside of Israel's full control. Gaza is a small strip of land on the seacoast, 25 miles long, about 5 miles wide, about 141 square miles, the size of Manhattan and Queens combined. And now it has a population of about 2.1 million people, so it's just about as crowded as Manhattan and Queens. Now, it was under King David that the Philistines were finally subdued for a while, but they were never fully deported from their land, so that the kings of Israel would be constantly fighting against the Philistines for centuries. In 700 BC, about 300 years into the reign of the Israeli kings, King Hezekiah was still fighting with the Philistines. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 8, Hezekiah defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory, from the watchtower to the fortified city. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 12, about the same time, the Arameans on the east and the Philistines on the west, and they devour Israel with gaping jaws. Now, during Israel's destruction and exile in 586 BC by the Babylonians, the Philistines were still existing, and Jeremiah, the final prophet in Israel, prophesied of the Philistine destruction. Jeremiah 47:1, that which came as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Philistines before Pharaoh conquered Gaza. Jeremiah 47:4, on account of the day that is coming to destroy all the Philistines. The Philistines were in an alliance with the Egyptians, and then the Babylonians came in and conquered the Egyptians and destroyed everything in Gaza. And while Israel was destroyed to the land after 70 years taken into exile into Babylon, the Philistines were never restored. Amos chapter 1, verse 8, the remnant of the Philistines will perish, particularly because they joined in with the other nations in wanting to destroy Israel. Now, the land of Gaza is now occupied by Arabs since the conquest of the Middle East by the Muslims in the 7th century AD. It's interesting that the latter prophecies given after Israel returned from the exile don't mention the Philistines because they no longer exist. But those prophecies mention Gaza being destroyed. So apparently a new group of people will someday occupy Gaza, and they will be judged, for they too will try to fight against Israel. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 3, which seems to be part of the prophecy that refers to Israel's far distant future, in Israel's future after having returned from the exile, the first deportation. Verse 5, Ashkelon will see it, that is the destruction of Tyre, and be afraid. Gaza too will writhe in great pain. Also Ekron, for her expectations has been confounded. Moreover, the king will perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon will not be inhabited. And a mongrel race will dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. There's also the prophecy of Zephaniah, an earlier prophet during the days of Jeremiah, pre-exile. Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4, for Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon a desolation. Ashdod will be driven out at noon and Ekron will be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. Well, that's just another name for the Philistines. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you so there will be no inhabitants. So the seacoast will be pastures, with caves for shepherds and folds for flocks. And the coast will be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They will pasture on it. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will care for them and restore their fortunes. And this is true for at least four of the cities of the Philistines. They're now firmly Israeli towns and farmland. But Gaza still remains occupied by hostile foreigners. Now, the big question that always comes up in Bible prophecy is whether these prophecies have been fulfilled or are they yet to be fulfilled? The Philistines are long gone. And in that sense, the prophecy has been fulfilled. The Gaza Strip has sat idle and basically unoccupied for centuries. But now, in the 20th century, a new anti-Israeli population occupies the region. Do these prophecies remain to be fulfilled again in some sort of double fulfillment? In the most famous prophecy against the enemies of Israel, in Psalm 83, the area of the Philistines is mentioned. Psalm 83, 4. They have said, come, and let us wipe them out as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they have conspired together with one mind against you, they have made a covenant. The tents of Edom, the Ishmaelites, Moab, the Hagrites, Gibal and Ammon, Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined with them. So it sounds like we're reading today's headlines. Let us wipe them out as a nation from the river to the sea. Different people, but the same region with the same demonic hatred toward Israel. Double fulfillment of prophecy is something we see quite often in Scripture, where events repeat themselves, where there's a lesser immediate fulfillment, but a final greater fulfillment in the future. In fact, we're seeing a double fulfillment of prophecy in Israel coming back to the land of Israel, a second deportation, and a second return. So we shouldn't be surprised if there's a double fulfillment of judgment upon Israel's enemies. But the bottom line is this. If you have any respect for biblical prophecy, which there's not much of in the Middle East, you don't want to be on the wrong side of biblical prophecy. As in Gamaliel's advice in Acts chapter 5, you're not going to be able to overthrow God's plan, and you don't want to be found fighting against God. No piece of land is worth giving up your soul. And why build on that which is cursed? God has a plan to restore Israel, and God wins, and God will use people like Donald Trump and Steve Witkoff and Marco Rubio and the leaders of Egypt and Qatar, even with their ridiculous deals, to accomplish his purpose. So be wise and get with the program of God so that you can be blessed of the Lord. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, share, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.